following message is from Victory Center Church's pastor, Charles Mendenhall, located in Guymon, Oklahoma at 122 Northwest 5th Street. Our service times are Sunday mornings at 10:30, Wednesday evenings at 7. To hear this message in its entirety, you may watch its video version by accessing the resource tab, victorycenter.org, or listen to the audio version by going to the iTunes store and entering Victory Center Guymon with no spaces to access this and many other messages. Here is Pastor Charlie as he delivers principles from God's Word.
Grab your Bible, grab your devices. We're going to dive into the Word of God here today. Is anybody here at Victory Center Church that loves the Word of God? Amen. We love the Word of God. This is what this church was built upon. And so I do believe that I've got a word in season for us as a church today. So I'm very excited to be with you guys here today. And just let's see what the Lord has to speak to us. I want you to open up your Bible with me here this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And I actually intended on starting somewhere else, and the Lord just kept bringing this passage of Scripture back to my mind. I want to dive into what I really believe is a word for this church. It's for all of us today. And I just want to dive in. Joshua chapter 1. Let me read these few verses here, and then we'll begin to just unpack it. Very interesting. Now, a few weeks ago when I was with y'all, we looked at this passage of Scripture. Again, the Lord just brought it back to me again. But this is a transition time for the children of Israel. If you're not familiar with the story, God has brought the children of Israel, miraculously delivered them out of the land of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And now for 40 years, they've been wandering around in the wilderness with this hope and this anticipation that there'd be a day that they entered into the promised land. Well, guess what happened? Their leader, Moses, dies. And so now the children of Israel are in this transition time. Sound familiar? Joshua chapter 1, let's look at it. New King James, verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying this. Look at this, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, I need everybody to say this next word with me, arise. Come on, everybody say arise. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of this people, to the land which I am giving to them. Notice this is plural. This is not singular. To them. To them. Who's the them there? All the people. The land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, look at this. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have, everybody say it with me, I have given you, as I said to who? To Moses. Now, this is a reference back to whenever Moses, 40 years prior, had experience with God, where God called Moses to lead the children of Israel. 40 years prior to this event we read about in Joshua chapter 1, God showed up, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and told these very words to Moses. I want you to take my people to this place, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is yours. Everywhere that your foot shall tread upon, your sole of your feet, he says, I am giving to you. Now here, 40 years into the future now, not to the future, but prior to where Moses was in Deuteronomy chapter 11, we find themselves in Joshua chapter 1, where Moses, the leader, now he's off the scene. He's not there any longer. Isn't it interesting that this did not surprise God? God still had a plan. Victory Center Church, God still has a plan for us. We all have grieved, continue to grieve. The passing of my father, 44 years that he, you know, back November 1977, mom and dad started this church. You know, 44 years of life have taken place, and now suddenly we're without our Moses. Moses and your mom and dad, now we still got mom, thank God for that, right? But you know, my dad, I mean, he beautifully led this church for a whole lot of years, but now we are in a new season. And I believe that this is what the Lord is speaking to us as a church, that yes, we got to grieve. We do miss Charlie. I tell you, I miss his calls, you know, at the most randomest time through the day. You know, I miss those moments, what I call the Charlie pause, where you're in the conversation and then you're like, He doesn't say anything, you know, and it took a while. Is he still there? I mean, y'all know what the Charlie pause was, right? I miss those moments. I miss sharing hunting experiences with Tame and I and Eugene and Kim and the families. We got away to Wolf Creek, got to go on a little vacation, got to go skiing, and there were several experiences. I'm thinking, man, Charlie would have loved this. Or looking at that, man, Charlie would have loved, you know, I had a lot of those moments. And many of y'all have had the same. But this is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us now in this season of this church, that it is time to rise. It's time to arise. Look at your neighbor, give him a fist bump and tell him it's time to arise. See, the children of Israel found themselves in the similar position that we are in here today. And they were told to arise. And Kim and Eugene and I and Tammy, back whenever Pastor Charlie went to the hospital there in mid-December, and I don't remember when we actually had the conversation, but we was having this discussion. We started talking about what do we feel like the Lord is saying? And I think it was Kim that really we started talking about this reset, this word reset, that it was time that we needed to reset and go back to the word, to the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And it was one of those words, as soon as she said that out of her mouth in that phone conversation that we was having, I thought immediately my spirit grabbed a hold of that, because there's been this discussion that I've been having in a lot of my pastor networks across really the globe and some of these networks that I'm in, and it's been this whole push. You know, COVID just was a crazy deal. You know, 2020 hit the beginning, you know, there, you know, March, you know, we're coming on 3 years, or excuse me, 2 years, you know, of having to deal with COVID, but it really just knocked everybody for a loop. Nobody really saw that coming. And I tell you what I believe that is the good that is coming out of this. It has caused us as leaders of churches to reevaluate what we do and why we do what we do in that. Because everything that we knew of church got shook up, got messed up, right? And it's been a word that the Lord, I think, has been speaking across the globe that it's time for a reset. To go back to the main thing, make the main thing the main thing. And I believe that that is a word for us here at Victory Center. You know, this whole subject of reset, this has been something that I've been praying through many times. And it's just, I believe it is not just a word in general, but I believe it is a word specifically for Victory Center Church here today. It's a time for a reset. Come on, everybody say it's a time for a reset. Now, there's a second phrase that you've been hearing a lot lately over the last several weeks. Not just reset, but anybody know what the other phrase we've been hearing a lot? Chip Brim talked about it. All in. Come on, look at your neighbor and ask him, are you all in? And so as we think about this reset, you know, being all in, you know, Chip Brim talked about it 5 Sundays ago. We've had several of our speakers talk about it. Adam Brown talked about it Wednesday night for the Wednesday night service and just a great message that was brought there. But and we keep asking this question, you know, what is it, you know, are you all in? Come on, are you all in? How many of y'all are all in today? Yeah. But this is the question that I follow up behind that. Well, what does it really mean to be all in? You know, does you showing up on a Sunday service, does that make you all in? Well, I mean, that's part of it, yeah. I mean, it's great to stand up here and say, all in, yeah, I'm all in. Man, we can get the hype going. Are you all in? We're all in. Yeah, are you all in? I'm all in. How about you? Yes, I'm all in. How about you? You know, back reminds me of the days my sister Kim used to be a cheerleader. Woo-hoo, yeah, woo. Sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I'm a cheerleader. I'm saying, come on, you can do this thing, you know? Come on, we all need a cheerleader in our life, right? Amen. But so this whole thought, so this is just what, as I've been praying and seeking the Lord's face for our time together here this morning, I just keep hearing this, that it is time for a reset, and to reset, we got to be all in. But what does it look like? How do we... It's one thing to say we're all in, but what does it look like? What does it mean to be all in? Right? And so the whole idea of a reset, what is the purpose of a reset? Let's dialogue for just a moment on this. What is the purpose of a reset? Well, as you're pondering that thought, let me tell you an experience that Tame and I had several years ago. You know, this is probably about 5 years ago that she had her phone that started acting weird. Anybody ever have their phone start acting weird and goofy? Yeah. Come on, I'm like, you know, iPhones are supposed to be super smart, but you know, it's just technology. And we had this moment and it wouldn't do what it was supposed to do. She'd had it for a couple years. And so me being the techie side, me being the husband, me being the man, I'm like, oh, give me the phone, I'll figure it out, you know. And I get on the thing and I can't figure it out. It's just not operating the way it's supposed to. So we decided that in order for us to get this phone operating the way it needed to operate, we had to get somebody smarter than us, right?
And so we made an appointment with the Apple Store in Oklahoma City. Get down there to the Apple Store in Oklahoma City there. We give them the phone. We tell them what is going on. They get on, they mess with it just a little bit there. And the guy goes, Suddenly, I felt really good about my manhood that a young tech guy couldn't figure it out. And suddenly, he said this. He says, we're going to have to do a factory reset of your phone. And we're like, well, what do you mean? He said, in other words, you have some issues with your phone that because you've been using it for a while, it's been operated a certain way, it's developed some issues. But if we can do a factory reset of your phone, it will restore it back to the manufacturer's original intent. And so we said, oh, easy enough. Okay. He said, give me just a little bit. And so he started the process. The phone started to reset. So it reset, had to download software, all that again. And then he handed us back the phone. He said, here, your phone is as good as new. And so we're like, wow, it really is as good as new. And as I thought about what God is speaking to us as a church, I'm not sure if he's saying, come on, guys, let's get back to the manufacturer's original intent. Time for a reset in our lives. Amen? Come on, look at somebody beside you and tell them it's time for a reset. So we reset. We've been resetting over the last few weeks as a church. Things look different, but it's good, right? And so we think about resetting. It seems like the thing the Lord is saying now is, come on, are you all in? Being all in. What does that look like? It's the question we've been asking for several weeks, right? So let me just unpack some things here today. If we're going to reset back to the manufacturer's original intent, that's easy to do with a phone, hit a few buttons, easy to do with a computer. What does it mean for us as a church? Okay? If you're new to Victory Center Church, this church was started, as I mentioned a few moments ago, November 1977 by my mom and my dad. I grew up in this church. November 1977, I was 10 years old. Some of y'all have been with Victory Center that whole journey. I've been around here a long time, Victory Center Church. Though I've been gone to Enid for the last several years, Victory Center is still very much our church. Grew up in this church. I still remember what was 1982 when we moved in this building. Still remember this being an old car dealership. I still remember the drain that run right through the middle of this place where the oil and stuff that'd wash in there and take it out there. I still remember putting sheetrock. I still remember putting sheetrock up in Charlie's office upstairs. The board fell off, hit me in the face, sliced my lip open, had to get stitches. I still remember the big old wall used to go there, the gymnasium out there. I still remember the big old Easter pageants we used to do. I remember one year when Milton was playing Jesus and we wanted to do a resurrection scene. And I remember we rigged up a garage door or a lift up here in the attic up here. We dropped a cable down. We hooked up Milton to this harness. We was taking him up through heaven, up into heaven. And he was, you know, Milton does not have a lot of hair if you did not notice, right? And so he wore a wig, a Jesus wig. And I remember this one moment where the resurrection's taking place and he hits his head up there and his wig falls off and his hair comes falling back to the ground. You remember that, Mom? I've been all over this church. I've been all over up in the attic. This is my church too. I want you to know that. And so I think about this divine reset, being all in. What does it look like? I want to give you three things. If you call Victory Center your home, that this is what all in looks like. Because we have to go back to what our pastor Charles and Margaret, what they saw many years ago for this church. To be all in is not just attending a church service on a Sunday morning for an hour, 20 minutes, or an hour and a half. That's not it. That's part of it. What does it mean to be all in? I'm going to give you three words today, what it means to be all in. You can visit this on the website. It's something that's been out there for several years. What does it mean to be all in? Number one, it means that we are embracing people. We embrace. Everybody say embrace. Embrace, okay? This is what it means to embrace. This is something that Mom and Dad prayed about years ago and established this. Listen to the phrase. I think we have it there on the screen too that we can throw up there. Is that right? Do we have this on the screen? The definition for embrace? Mick, did you get that in? He does not have it, so listen to me very closely. We love and accept you. No matter who you are, what you have done, or where you have come from, just as we each have been loved and accepted. We love you. Look at your neighbor right now. And if it's appropriate, come on, tell him, I love you. Come on, in the love of the Lord, all right? I love you. Come on, we embrace. If we're resetting, you got to understand, first of all, there's three legs to this. The first leg is to embrace. To embrace who? To embrace people. I love the scripture in Matthew chapter 22 where a man comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, what's the most important thing? I mean, he's kind of like our world today. What's just the one thing? Yeah, help me out with this thing. I don't want it to be complicated. Give me just one thing. What does it mean to have eternal life? What does it mean to walk with Christ? What does it mean to be a Christian? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, look at it with me here. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, New Living Translation says this. It says, Jesus replied. This is Matthew 22, 37. There, Mick is, I mean, his fingers are going fast back there. Jesus replied, look at this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Come on, how many of y'all love God in this place today? Come on, if you love God, let me hear you a little louder than that. Amen. But he didn't stop there. He goes on in verse 38, and he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Verse 39, he goes on and says this, and a second one is as what? In other words, it's on the same level. Equally important, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Come on, how many of y'all know the loving God part, that's relatively the easy part. It's the loving the people part that is the challenge. Come on, how many of y'all got people in your life that's easy to love? Come on, how many of y'all got people in your life that's like Pastor Brad Mendenhall, that's just easy to love, right? Pastor Margaret, amen. Come on, Pastor Eugene, come on, how many? Pastor, you know, we got those people in our life that's easy to love, right? But how many of us got some people in our life that it's kind of hard to love? Come on, I got my hand up before y'all had your hands up. Come on. Come on, there's a stinker in every relationship in our life. Yeah. Come on, I've heard it said before that one out of three people are really messed up. Look at that person to the right of you. Now look at the person at the left of you. Now, if they look really normal to you, you may be the one out of three. But love God and love people. Let me tell you, church, and every one of these points, man, I could do a whole series off of. But this ability to embrace people. Listen, church, this is what we are about. For God so loved the world that he what? Come on, that he what? He gave his only son. For God so loved the world, not the trees, not the dirt, not the stuff. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? People. We could say it this way. For God so loved people that he gave. Eugene teed it up a moment ago. I'm just going to keep going on it. Kingdom perception, kingdom-minded people, they are people-focused, not me-focused, right? For God so loved the world he gave. So we are not called. Let me tell you, oh, man, I just wish I had time to just really make this my message today, but I don't. Let me just sum it up in this. We are not called to be the judge of others. Your number one responsibility when it comes to people in your life is to love them, not judge them. Let me tell you, and it is such human nature. We want to sit back. We want to point our fingers. We want to judge each other. We want to judge people. Oh, I can't believe she said that. I can't believe she's wearing that. I can't believe he did that. No, come on. You are not called. You and I are not called to be the judge. I just got all these messages all of a sudden just wanted to explode off and wanted to go on these different messages. I'll have to save for another time. I've got to stay focused right now, okay? But we're not called to be judges of people. We're called to be lovers of people, right? And so when we think about this day and age that we're living in, how many of y'all would agree with me that we are living in very divisive times? We're living in a time, it's called the cancel culture. It's a culture that says this, if you don't act like me, think like me, hold my same beliefs, then I cancel you, or in other words, I don't need you in my life, right? And so this is what's going on in our world today. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll let that infiltrate our walk with the Lord and let it infiltrate our lives here in church. We don't need more judgmental people in this world. We need more people that are loving, amen. Amen. So that kind of brings me to a question here that I got to ask you. If we're really being the body of Christ, if we're really reaching the lost, what should church look like? I dare to say this morning. If I would ask you this question, how many of y'all love Jesus in this church and know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I can almost guarantee you there's probably almost, I would probably 99 to 100% of y'all say, yeah, that's me. good for you. But you know what? There's another world out there. There's a whole world out there. People are lost. Do we really, in your life, let me make a statement. Listen to me close. If everybody in your circle loves Jesus, your circle's not big enough. Do you have people in your life that need Jesus? Because again, it's easy to love people that are lovable, right? It's easy to love those people that think like me, act like me, have the same beliefs as me. Amen? Those are easy. But who are the people that are hard to love? Those people that act differently, think differently. How about have different political stances? Come on, I believe that if we're really walking in the will of God in our life, that if we're Republican, we should love the Democrats. If we're Democrats, we should love some Republicans. Come on now. Come on, I'm getting down here and getting dirty. Come on, if we're pro-mask or anti-mask, we should be able to get along. If we're anti-vaccination or pro-vaccination, we should be able to get along according to the Word of God. Come on, look at your neighbor right now and say, I love you. Amen. Now, I'm still dialoguing on this, but I almost wonder if the reset that God has for us is to be more about loving people than judging people. And it makes me wonder as a pastor, now this is just me, I'm still processing this, okay? I'm not saying this is the law. I'm not saying this is the way it should be. But if everybody that I've got in my church thinks like me, acts like me all the time, then I think I'm not doing my job properly. Because if I'm doing my job properly, we should have people in church that don't know Jesus yet. I think we should have some different perspectives that we're just kind of dialogue, having some healthy dialogue about, right? Amen? I'm not saying it stays that way. I'm just saying if we're really reaching the world. Now, this is a hard statement for me to make because I got to ask myself the same question. Does my church represent the world? Let me rephrase that. Do the people that are attending my church represent the world? This is what I got to say about that. It doesn't. It doesn't. We've got some work to do, church. Amen? Again, let me say this. It's easy to love people that are lovable, right? I remember hearing this story about a pastor who really, he was in a large city, really developed a love, developed a passion, let me say it that way, a calling to minister to the homosexuals. He saw so many of them dying at the time. So his heart went out to them because he saw so many just lost with no hope. And so he started ministering to them. And he got invited to be on a radio station just sharing the love of Jesus. He wasn't condemning them. He was just sharing the love of God. That's all he's doing. He got invited on this radio station and they began to quiz him about that. And he just began to share God. You know, I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm just here to love people. And so the next Sunday, they come into church. I mean, he'd been on the radio at the city. All these homosexuals started showing up at his church. Well, the leaders of his church come to him and said, Pastor, what are we going to do? He said, we got all these homosexuals showing up for church. Where are we going to put them at? The pastor said, oh, that's easy. Put them next to the liars, the cheaters, the fornicators. See, homosexuality is not this huge thing. It's just part of that that people are working out, still trying to get their life right. Amen. Here's my question for you on this point of embracing. Come on, we love God. Do you really love people? I know there's many say, but I have an issue with that. Somebody says that. Somebody said that in your heart. I have an issue with some people. Listen, this is what you need to do. Start praying that you see the people around you the way God sees them. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, you don't know some of these crazy people in my life. They hurt me. You know what I know about people that hurt people? Hurting people hurt people. Yeah. Again, this, I could really go off on this. So let me keep moving here. Everybody okay? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Look at this. New Living Translation says this. Let me just throw this at you because I got a lot more ground to cover. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Listen to this. Making what? Allowance for each other's faults. I'm just kind of curious. Anybody got any faults in here today? Now listen to me real close. Again, I apologize. I really do. I'm sincere about this because I've got so many messages going off in my mind right now. Every time I'm hitting one of these points, I want to go off in another direction. Making allowance for each other's faults. This is what I know. Spiritually speaking, I'm perfect in the eyes of God. Come on, I'll never be more saved than I am saved right now. Spiritually speaking, right? So I've already been saved. My body, my physical body, It will be saved one day, my physical body in the resurrection. I'm going to receive a new body. Okay? So it will be saved. But my soulish man is in the process of being saved. It's what we call transformation, right? Amen? So in the process of transformation, spiritually speaking, in Christ, me, my life in Christ, I'm perfect. But the big question I have to ask myself, how much of Christ am I allowing to live in me? That's where I've got to do some work. Amen? Anybody need got some? So in other words, if I'm not perfect, I'm not a perfect husband. Thank you for not saying amen, sweetheart. I really appreciate that. I'll take you out to eat after this. But anyway, I've still got some room to grow. Even though I've been married for 33 years, I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect dad, even though my kids are out of the house now. I'm still working that thing out. I'm not the perfect pastor. I make mistakes, you know. I'm not perfect, but I may not be where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Come on, anybody else can say that with me? So we all got faults, right? So if we all got some faults, the scripture says to make allowances for each other's faults, right? In other words, when I see something in you I don't like, the scripture says, make allowance for that. We can still get along, right? Make allowances because of our, what does it say? Because of our what?
Love.
What is it? Love is what, it gives us the ability to look past the faults of other people. Amen? All right, look at them one more time. Look at your neighbor, tell them, despite your faults, I still love you. Come on, we have to look past people's problems, their faults, their sins, and show them love. Amen? All right, everybody say embrace.
Embrace.
Embrace. Amen. Okay, number two. Let's talk about the second leg of this. What does it mean to be all in? Okay? So first of all, if you're a person that you're saying, I'm all in this thing, well, you're going to be embracing people. You're going to be loving people. That is your sign. That is your the road signs on the road of life. I'm all in. If you can love people, that shows that you're all in, all right? So let's look at the second leg of this. Number two is this, equip. Everybody say equip. Equip. Okay, now again, this is Victor Center's mission statement, to embrace and to, number two, to equip. Equip is this. It is our passion to provide people with the tools to navigate life and their walk with the Lord through the teaching of the Word of God and the revelation of the realities of who Christ is, and I love this part, who we are in Him. Who we are in Him. Now, if you, I see some of y'all right now. These are on the website. If you go to the victorcenter.org, click on About Us, you'll see this mission that I'm sharing right here, okay? That part you're talking about right there. So let's think about this. Equip. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look over there right quick. I took way too much time on embrace, so I really need to speed up here through equip. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You all right today? Is everybody glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this. Now, these are the gifts. Come on, how many of y'all like gifts? Yeah, I love gifts. These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Now, we're going to read about five gifts, okay, that Christ, Jesus, gave to the church, okay? We see the apostle, we see the prophet, we see the evangelist, we see the pastor, we see the teacher. Everybody, you know, there's this fivefold ministry gift. Now, verse 12, now you've been taught this well. Verse 12, their responsibility, who's the there? The pronoun there then is who? It's talking about the fivefold ministry. There, the fivefold ministry's responsibility is to do what? To equip God's people. How many of y'all are God's people here today? Come on, let me see you. To equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Church, this is so awesome. Whose responsibility is it to build the church? Come on, take your finger, point at yourself and say, it's my responsibility. I get excited about that because for years I thought it was my responsibility. Come on now. You see that? The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to build you up to go do the works of the ministry. Now, I'm just kind of curious, how many of y'all is Victory Center your home and you want to see Victory Center prosperous and overflowing with people? You want to see people getting healed? Come on, how many of y'all want to see people getting saved? Come on, how many of y'all want to see people getting baptized every Sunday?
Amen.
Guess whose responsibility that is? Come on, say it's my responsibility. It's a perspective shift. Verse 12 out of the Passion Translation says it this way. Look at this, verse 12. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will, look at this, enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Isn't that good? Come on, again, say it's my responsibility. Amen. See, part of Victory Center's passion is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now, church, you have been taught very well. You have been amazingly taught. We have, with Pastor Charlie and Pastor Margaret, you've got some of the best Bible teachers, Word of Faith teachers in the entire globe, right here in Guymon, Oklahoma. Thank you for those 12 people that agree with that statement right there. Come on, you got the best. You can't preach. I mean, I tell you, for years when I come to here to preach in front of my dad, I was so intimidated. I'm still a little intimidated to preach before y'all because my dad, he knew the word frontwards and backwards. He could tell you the application however you wanted to hear it. My dad knew the word. But this, I believe, is part of the problem as a church. And I'm not talking about Victory Center. I'm talking about the church as a whole and as America today. I believe part of the problem is this. We've been overtaught and underused. We have become more educated than obedient. And it's time that we take our education and the word that we've been taught and put it into practice. And this is what I'm talking about. We got to be embracing people. And number two, we got to be equipping people here today. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. And this is the Passion Translation. It says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, or in Christ, how many of y'all are in Christ? Come on, let me hear you again. He has become an entire new creation. Come on, you are not who you used to be. Come on, your identity has changed. All that is related to the old order has what? Vanished away. Behold, everything is fresh and it is new. How many of y'all are glad about that? Amen. Verse 18, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. Come on, how many of y'all are glad you're reconciled to Christ? But now look at this last part. And now he has given us, come on, say me. He's given me the ministry of reconciling others to God. That's our duty. Church, you have been equipped. Let's be about doing it now. Amen? So the purpose for equipping the saints is what? To go expand the kingdom of God. We see Jesus doing this with the disciples. They have their time together, and then he sent them out. They'd come back, they'd have their time together, then he'd send them out. You see this principle established with Jesus and his disciples. Church, we got to get better at this. Come on, are we going to see Guymon impacted by the kingdom of God? I hope so. Come on, are we going to see Hugoton, Elkhart, Rolla, all these regions? Are we going to see it affected by the kingdom of God? Are we going to see Texas County affected by the kingdom of God? How's that going to happen? By all of us doing our part. Come on, you're equipped. You're empowered. Now we got to do it, which brings me to the third leg of this. The reset, the mission, it's to empower. Everybody say empower. Empower, empower means this. Look at this. Our desire is to take each person the Lord brings our way and ignite in them a passion to become effective, efficient ministers of the gospel. Look at this. First in their where? In their homes. Then in their where? Community, and ultimately across this nation and world. Come on, you've been empowered to go. Look at this, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. You know, you've heard Pastor Charlie and Mom share this many times. The last words that Jesus shares with his disciples before he's going away, his last instruction before he goes into the ascension, or he does what Milton did years ago in that Easter pageant when his wig fell off. You know, this is what he said. He said this unto them. This is Passion Translation again. As you go into all the world, preach openly the wonderful news of the gospel to the entire human race. Do you see that? How many of y'all has the gospel made a difference in your life? Come on, how many of y'all has the gospel meant something to you? Right? Amen, it has. Now, I could read more here, but it goes around and gives a great description of what we're to do as believers. We're to go into all the world, but it says preach the gospel. But it also talks about the signs and wonders, the miraculous things that will take place. But let me just nail down on this for just a moment here. Go into all the world. What does your world look like? Because the thing you and I need to understand, our paths have crossed here for this hour and 20, 30 minutes that we're together, but we're going to go our separate ways, and you're going to go into your world. I'm going to go back to Enid. We got to get back to Enid for our women's night tonight in Enid, so we got to scoot pretty quick. So my world is not the same as your world. You encounter people that I don't encounter. Go into all your world and to do what? Preach the gospel. What does your world look like? If you live in this region, let me just give you a brief glimpse of what your world looks like, okay? Your world is not contained in these four walls of this church building. But your world looks like that. There's about 20,000 people that live in Texas County that call Texas County home. 20,000 people. Now, right now, we got, 130, 140 people in this sanctuary. 20,000 people. Of that 20,000 people, there's about 12,000 of those that live right here that call Guymon their home. All right? 12,000 people that live here. If 20% of that 12,000 attended church, with that's kind of the national average, that means 1,020, right? 12,000, 1,120 people are probably in church somewhere. Now that tells me that those people that go to church, that 1,120, Probably that 20%, excuse me, that'd be 10%. So you double that number, 2,400. 2,400 people, that tells me if 2,400 people are in church somewhere, that tells me they probably already got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what that tells me? There's almost 10,000 people that probably need Jesus. You don't have to go to Kenya to the mission field. You can step out your back door. Yeah. 16% of Guymon residents live in poverty. 16%. People are hurting right now. Yeah. 58% of Guymon is Hispanic. 28% is white. 6% is black. And the rest of the ethnic groups fall into place. Now, remember what I said about embracing? You know what you're going to find about Guymon right now? It's a melting pot of society. You got different beliefs here, different thoughts, different patterns. Church, listen to me. We're in the middle of a mission field. What are we doing about it? What are you going to do about it? Right? So we embrace. You've been equipped. Now you're empowered. You're empowered. Let me tell you a quick story here in closing. You know, we've been in Enid for 24 years now, but we've had this couple that's attended. He's actually just passed away. Tim and Becky Tessman. In fact, I got a picture of Tim and Becky Tessman. I just want to show you here right quick. Tim, there. He would fit right here in Guymon. Tim just isn't a good old country boy. He worked at this plant. He loved Jesus. He wasn't flamboyant about it by no means. He just loved Jesus. He'd go to work and, you know, he was just being salt and light. And he developed this friendship with this young man that was working there. Young man was really rough. Found out he was in a rock band. Or Tim, he goes back to the rocker days. So he really loved it. The kid's name was Jeremy. And so Tim, he loved Jesus and he'd go to work and he'd see Jeremy and he'd say, hey, come to church with me. Jeremy would say, I don't need that. I don't need God. I don't need church. Next week, Tim, they just, hey, why don't you come to church with me, Jeremy? I don't need that. Nah, I'm not going to go to church. Week after week, month after month, Tim would invite Jeremy to church. Finally, after a couple years of this, Jeremy, he's like, I am tired of him asking. So I said, Tim, just to shut you up, I'm going to go to church with you. And sure enough, that Sunday morning, Jeremy showed up to church with his wife, Tara, to church. And I'll tell you, Jeremy, he was in this rock band. He had this killer goatee. I mean, he had a goatee that went that long. It just made a beautiful goatee. At the end of the service, I don't even remember what I preached about, but I gave the altar call. As soon as I said, if you need to know Jesus, he came down to the front. Led him to Jesus. His life drastically changed at that moment. A couple weeks later, we baptized him. A couple weeks later after that, he, because he was in a band, our worship leader at the time, she invited him to become be a part of our band. And he was in a part of the band. 15 years later, I've got a picture of Jeremy and Tara. Jeremy and Tara have been loving the Lord and leading our worship as one of our worship leaders. This is Jeremy and Tara singing here at a series we did back in October. That's Jeremy and Tara right there. They have led worship over 15 years, the accumulation of it to thousands of people. They have helped people encounter the presence of God in the thousands. There's an anointing up on that young couple. But it all goes back to Tim Tessman, a very simple guy, being empowered and embracing. He'd been equipped just to share the gospel with one person, with one person. And now that couple right there are a powerhouse couple. You may be just a Tim Tessman here today, but do something with it because you never know who you're going to touch. What would this church be like if we all did something in this, right? I am closing, I promise. But let me do close with this. We've got an aunt, Tammy's aunt, has a very successful ministry in Oklahoma City. Several years ago, she had this dream. It was in this dream that this ladies' ministry was having this big, huge banquet. All these ladies around the table, kind of like y'all will do tonight, around the table, having a good time, just just enjoying, just eating great food. And she started hearing this noise behind her in this dream. And it kind of got annoying, and it got to this place that the noise started overpowering the fun that they were having around this banquet table. And she's like, what is going on here? Somebody shut that noise up. And she turned, and when she looked, she saw behind them in this dream, she saw these lost, broken, hurting people crying out, oh, can you just feed me? Can I have something? Please help me. Suddenly, she had this epiphany, like, here we are feasting around this great table, doing well. Well, there's people that are lost, crying out for help. Church, there's a community that's crying out for help. Wherever you live at, this is a large region. There's people that need Jesus. Now, here's my question to you. As we're in this reset moment, I want to ask you again, are you all in? If you're all in, it's time to do something about that. Let's embrace people. Let's be empowered to go out. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet with me here right now. Just give me just a couple moments of ministry time, if you would. I'm going to ask prayer team, I want you to go ahead and come to the front. Let's all just close our eyes for just a moment. I need you to ask yourself this question. Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? Because every one of us have something the Lord is speaking to you right now. Okay? Every one of you has something. I hope I can speak for all of us when I say this. Yes, I am all in. We're all in. Father, I pray over us as a church today. Lord, there was just so much in my heart I just wanted to say, and I just know there's just a limited amount of time to say it in, but Lord, as I stand here at the end of the service, I feel like this is what you wanted me to speak for this moment, for this hour. Lord, help us to embrace the world around us. Help us to embrace the lost. Help us to embrace those people that don't think like us or act like us. May we let love drive our life. Help us to guard our mouth and our opinions of judging others. You never called us to be judges. You call us to be lovers. Father, that equipping side, Lord God, if there's any area of our life that we may be missing, Lord God, help us to engage the process. Help us to dive in, to be equipped. Lord, you've called us all to be ministers of reconciliation. We're all ministers in this house. And Lord, we empower them today to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, the good news, to be salt, to be light, Lord God. Father, it's so easy to be a consumer that we're not a producer. Lord, I declare this over this church right now that we're moving from consuming to producing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed there. We're about to let you go. I want you to say a prayer with me here, and I want you to think about what we're praying, okay? Let me start, and you just pray it along with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I don't want to be just a consumer. My walk with you is not all about me. But Lord, just as you loved the world, and you gave everything you could to reach the world, Lord, give me a fresh sense of perspective. Your perspective. Fresh lenses to see my world around me. This is where it gets bold. Say this. Say, Lord, I'm willing to be used to go into my world, to be salt and to be light, to speak into a person or persons, whatever that looks like, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's a bold prayer there. Amen. It's always good to be with you guys. And again, I get into this pulpit. I get in here and there's so much that I just want to give you guys. So I hope that the Lord has spoken to you what you needed to hear today. You're fixing to go into your world. Amen. What are you going to do about with your time that you go into your world with? Amen. As we wrap up our service here today, we've got this prayer team here at the front. These people are prayed up. They'd love to pray with you. If you have any needs in your life, there's something about coming together with somebody in prayer and just agreeing. Scripture says, where two come together in agreement, it shall be done. So if you're here today and you need prayer for anything in your life, I invite you. You can come now or you can wait till we dismiss. But I don't want you to leave this place without getting the prayer you need. One final thing, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, we'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you're a person that lived with Jesus for a while, but you feel like you've walked away from him. Let me tell you, it's time to come home. Time to come home. If you don't know Jesus, you're ready just to renew your relationship with him. If that's you, would you just kind of real quick, just put your hand up by your chest and wave that at me. Is there anybody here today? Just want to know. Want to know. Okay. Now that was kind of a setup. That's kind of nasty of me to do that. Whose responsibility is it to get people in this church that needs Jesus? Is it mom's? Kim and Eugene's? Come on. Everybody say it's my responsibility. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that to make you mad or beat down you. I'm just saying this. Come on, we got some work to do. We got some work. Amen. So I send you forth in the power of the Holy Spirit into your world to go make a difference, to touch a life this week. Listen, touch at least one life. Now, I'm not saying you got to, you know, pray with them. I'm just saying sow a seed. It all starts with a seed sown. Now, there may be somebody may be like, I'm ready to meet Jesus, or I'm ready to come to church. You know what I'm saying? But don't let it discourage you if they don't respond right away. Tim, it took him months and weeks speaking into Jeremy Tooman before Jeremy said, okay, just to shut you up, I'm going to go. And look what God did. He met the Holy Spirit. He met Jesus there. Amen.
It has been our honor to offer this message today. If you would like to partner with us as we continue to bring the Word of God, we would ask that you prayerfully consider supporting Victory Center with a financial donation. You may do so today via the online giving portal at victorycenter.org. Thank you.